my daughter's on the cruise here with me. She's 9. And there's an incident that happened to her yesterday where she showed up and she was all dressed up and looking nice. And she went to play with her friends that she's had here for 5 days. And all of a sudden, they turned on her. And they said, well, you're looking too much like an adult, and adults are boring.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, adults aren't boring because she sees a lot of networkers and we all have fun, even as adults. So her concept of that wasn't the right, or was right, maybe, well, it was her belief, let me put it that way. But what happened is that all those kids all of a sudden listened to her as an adult. They looked at her as an adult. They held her in that place. There's probably a few people, those of you listening, that you might have somebody on your team that for the last 4 years, they've been there as just sitting in the audience, just listening to the conference call, not really stepping up. And maybe they want to be listened to as a leader, but you've only held them as a distributor. How can the person on the call here that is a leader, or the person on this tape listening to as a leader, how can you go and create an environment where people can freely be listened to as leaders?
Just give people the opportunity. Give them the responsibility. You know, if you've got somebody that you want to empower as a leader, for example, ask them to host the conference call. Ask them to do a spot at the local leader meeting. Ask them to write an article. And, you know, perhaps their first run at it won't be what you consider excellent. But just the fact that you gave somebody an opportunity has them empowered as a leader and shows that you listen to them as a leader. And everybody has leadership qualities. Everybody can awaken the leadership inside of them if they're given the right environment, the right challenge, and the right support. Just give people the opportunity.
Yeah. So as a leader, an example that I like, you know, that comes to my mind is that if, for whatever reason, to go back to the kids, a child is seen stealing something out of somebody's desk, and all the kids in that class will now view that child as a thief. Even from that point on, if that child never steals anything ever again. In an organization, I see it happen that people are put into a place, and that's where they're held. So in order to break out of that, you have to, one, announce that you want to be a leader, and then number two, be in an environment where you can be now given some leadership duties. Is that kind of the way to put it?
Yeah, or create the environment. If you're not in the environment, create the environment. And I think an aspiring leader can ask the people around them, can make the request. And it would sound like this, you know. So say, Art, you're my organization of one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's one or 100, I'd say, Art, I know I've been hanging out. I know I got caught stealing candy out of the desk. And, you know, I wish that hadn't happened, but it did. But now here's my new commitment. I'm going to become a leader in the organization. And I know you may not see me that way now, but that's my commitment, is for you to start seeing me as a leader, and I'm going to earn that.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what I'm going to be doing to earn that listening as a leader, to earn that respect. You know, I'm going to be doing things that I'm afraid to do. I'm going to be getting on the conference calls, and if you give me the opportunity, or anybody gives me the opportunity, I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking at the meeting. I want to eventually get to the place where my conversations and coaching and training is a contribution to you. Maybe you don't see it as that way now, but that's my commitment, is to get to the place where I can contribute to you, where you'll respect me and admire me and actually see me as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me declaring my intention to you. Now, that's a very vulnerable thing to do. And my experience is that when you and I are vulnerable, the people around us will not attack us. We only get attacked when we're covert and we're not vulnerable. When we're, you know, playing the Wizard of Oz, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You know, we're making all sorts of noise and screaming and yelling, and all of that's usually just a distraction so people won't see how scared and vulnerable we are. But when we roll over and we bare our belly to people, that's when the humanity in us steps forward, and I think you find the good side of people shows up. And if you ask them to support you, you know, when I step out and do something scary, my request is that you support me, that you not gossip about me, you not tear me down, you not criticize me. but you empower the process. And I'll tell you what, I'll do the same for you.
Mm-hmm. So as a leader who's listening to somebody with this request, have you trained yourself? How do you get to the point where you don't, throw judgment on them again to where they were? How do you proactively continue to see them as to where they want to go?
Well, that's just a choice. It's a choice about what we're going to make up about people. You know, the fact that somebody didn't step forward a year ago, that somebody didn't produce, or you asked them to be on the conference call and they didn't show up, that's what happened a year ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the big mistakes that we make as human beings engaging in each other is we collapse what happened and what is going to happen as one and the same. So the fact that you didn't act like a leader a year ago, what we tend to do is interpret, well, that means you're not going to act like a leader tomorrow. When in fact, all that happened a year ago is you didn't get on the conference call, or you didn't produce like you said you would, or you didn't do whatever. That's all that happened. Now I get to decide what to make up about that. And if I want to empower you as a leader, what I get to decide to make up about that is that's what happened a year ago, or a month ago, or even yesterday. And it doesn't have to have anything to do with what's going to happen today. I can support and empower you to take different actions.
As a leader of your company, you have a limited amount of time. How do you decide if you have a number of people coming up to you saying, I want to be viewed as a leader? I would have to assume that just about most people that get near you probably say, yes, I want to be a leader. How can you decide as a leader of an organization where you're spending your time with, who you're going to develop as a leader, who you're going to coach?
Well, it's pretty easy, actually. It's there's the cliche, talk is cheap. It's very easy for people to say they're going to do lots of things. But if people are making the declaration with every fiber of their being, if they're making a quality declaration, you know, I'm going to do something, I know what the result of that is. They're in action. Mm-hmm. They're going to produce results. So I don't pay so much attention to what people say. I pay attention to what they do. People that I work with are in action. They're doing along the lines of what they said they're going to do. They're not necessarily accomplishing everything they said they're going to do. But when people stand up and say, you know, I'm going to double my volume next month, or I'm going to hit the top position in the compensation plan next year, I don't pay a lot of attention to that. It's interesting. I like to watch the quality of the presentation. You know, how does it resonate? How powerful is it? The only thing that really matters is what are they doing tomorrow? Mm-hmm. You know, are they in action along that path? If they are, I hook up with them.
One of the things I've noticed about certain leaders that have a pretty strong influence on others is that they don't necessarily spend a whole lot of time with other people. It's almost like short bursts. They go in, they make an impact, they withdraw, and there's almost the aura around the leader because they're not there that much. Sometimes I find, for me personally, I spend almost too much time with somebody and I lose a little bit of the impact I'm having with that leader. Where's the balance there?
That's a tough one, especially if you like people and there's so much work to do with people. It's easy. One of the things that I've done in my organization at times past is 7-day retreats, 12 people at a time. We've done them in hotels, but the most effective ones we did were actually in our home, where 12 leaders would come in for 7 days. Now, you would think that would be way more time than you would need to spend with leaders, but we actually found that we needed to extend them to 2 weeks to even really get a good foothold. But then the downside there is, you know, the familiarity breeds a little bit of contempt. That's human. So you do need to balance it. And I think, like you said, Art, the short bursts is the best way to do it. And it's a process. It takes time. So you need to go in and work with your people. And, you don't want to become necessarily family or best friends, because you can lose some of the edge there of how they see you and what they're willing to contribute. We're all human, and we all have our shortcomings. And, you know, sometimes it's valuable for the organization to see your weaknesses as a leader. Sometimes that's valuable for them to see that you're just as human as they are. And sometimes it's not in their best interest. Sometimes it's in their best interest to see you the way they choose to see you, which is something to aspire to, somebody to aspire to.
So one of the ways to build would be, hey, I've got 20 centers of influence, 20 leaders that I'm working with at one time. And that those 20 people might change 90 days from now. Some might fall off that list. Some might stay on that list by their actions, by their successes. And then those 20 might have their 20. That's maybe one way to go develop leaders. So if you had 20, and I don't know if this is how you operate, but say you had 20 people that you wanted to develop as leaders, and of those 20, maybe there's 6 that you really want to just spend a little bit more time with that maybe do become close friends. What would it look like for you, maybe on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, to stay in touch with these people? Is it through calls? Do you go visit with the top 4? What does that look like for Richard Brook?
Well, there's how I do it, and then there's ideally how I ought to do it. One way that I like that's extremely efficient is I have several levels of groups of leadership in the organization on email. And so if I have anything to say to the groups, I send it out on email, and everybody in those groups, regardless of how big they are encouraged. They just don't have the opportunity. They're actually encouraged to respond. So I do a lot of leadership development dialogue via email, and I do a lot of sharing of that. So if I send a broadcast to 100 leaders on email about some certain subject, and you respond to me individually, you know, well, Richard, you know, I read what you said, and, you know, I have this question about it or this concern about it, or I had this great insight about it, then what I'll do is take what you sent me, and everybody that's in the group already grants permission to do this, and I'll take what you sent me, and I'll send it back out to the 100 people. Because a question that you have is probably a question a lot of them have. You just decided to ask it, or you had the courage to ask it, or it was pressing enough to ask it. And just because it wasn't for them doesn't mean they wouldn't get value out of it. They do. Or your insight is valuable to them. So we keep a conversation going on email, not just from me, but through everybody. So it's a team effort. Conference calls are labor intensive, but they're a great way to hear. One of the things you don't get on emails, you don't get people's heart, you don't get the sense of urgency, you don't get the emotion that's so important to have people get it and move forward. So we use conference calls for that. I do it about once every 2 years. I ought to do it at least every year. I'll do a road trip throughout North America and go visit every one of those leaders that's currently on the team and spend a day or day and a half with them, not doing meetings.
Okay, say more about that.
Meetings are, you know, they're just meetings. And, you know, it's not any different whether I'm there or they're doing the meeting themselves. It's a distraction. If you're doing a meeting, then the agenda of the time we spend together is the meeting. But what I found great value of is I'll set a schedule, and what I'll do is I'll fly into an area and rent a car, and I'll drive for 2 or 3 weeks. And my schedule is just to drive to each leader's home or their city, and we'll just spend a day or half a day or maybe a day and a half just sitting around talking. I'll get to know their family a little bit better, and, you know, where they live and what they do for a living and what their home's like. And then when I get back and I'm on email or on conference calls, I know who I'm talking to. It makes all the world a difference. And you can't accomplish that when they all come to a meeting, because you're in a meeting room and they're just faces in the crowd again. But when you've been in people's homes and you've met their kids and you know their dogs and their cats and, you know, what kind of car they drive, and maybe you go to their place of work, if that's appropriate, and you see where they work, they take on a whole different flavor, a whole different relationship for you as the leader. I find I'm vastly more committed to those people, more sensitive to, you know, what's going on in their life and the challenges they have, more interested in them, just a lot easier to relate. And you can't ever do that on email or conference calls. You can't even do it in a meeting structure. You can only do it if you actually intentionally say, no meetings. Mm-hmm. I'm coming, but don't set up any meetings. You know, the biggest thing we have is maybe they'll get, you know, their very closest leaders together and we'll go to dinner or something like that. But most of the time is just spent with them.
So the reverse, I'm sure, holds true as well. If you go out of your way to go meet with a leader, go into their neighborhood, their home, they get to hang out with Richard Brook, probably their commitment to you could be lifelong.
Well, that's been my experience, that there's, you know, some things that I've done well as the CEO of a company and some things I haven't done so well. And eventually, you know, it's, I've been at it 20 years now, so the next 20 years I'm going to try to pull them all together. But one thing that I think I've done well is the leaders that have been attracted to the organization, by investing in a relationship with them, respecting them, honoring them, listening to them, not having a dogmatic, system about this is how we're going to do things, whether you want to do it that way or not. Listening to their input, their opinions, their concerns, their passions, getting to know them. I've seen those leaders go through adversity without ruffling a feather. Our organization has been through things that would put most organizations out of business, and we've been through 8 or 10 of them. So we've actually been out of business 8 or 10 times, but instead, we barely even dip. And it's because the leaders, are absolutely committed to what we're doing and who we are and our future, and, adversity that would usually be just a direct hit and put a company right out of business doesn't even put a dent in us. And it's all about relationships.